Are you open to receiving divine feminine messages, to drop into the most expansive of heart spaces, to know that you are here as a divine emanation of God? Whether you have been on a path of knowing yourself as a spiritual being for quite some time, or you are a beginner, you are in the exact right place today. Join me in welcoming Julie Pyatt to the podcast. You're going to walk away today feeling into yourself in a deeper, more connected and intimate way than you may have ever felt. I really want to dive into this episode because there's so much to say. So let's get started.
Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation.
So welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. Today I am with Julie Pyatt. I have been, I will say, an admirer and a follower of Julie for a few years now. And she came into my life in a side door that she doesn't even realize. It was through her husband's podcast, but this podcast is not about that podcast. It's about Julie and her life because she is a living embodiment of, I think, carrying out just divine messages, very sacred, reverent individual here to share messages very deeply and widely with women, with humanity. And she calls me to a greater place, a more expansive way of seeing and being with the world. And right now, I'm just really speaking from my heart. I had cut and pasted a segment from Julie's website saying all the things she is. And I'm just going to say the first sentence that it does say on the website. Julie is a mystic mother, a musician, an artist, a chef, an author, and a healer who has lived her life immersed in devotion and expansive creativity. She is a way shower of finding the divine in all life experiences. I'll stop right there in that reading and really invite you, the listener today, to listen with ease, with a receptivity. It's going to be a lot of information today, but we want to deliver it in a really feminine way. And if you have the opportunity to perhaps sit and be a little quieter while you listen, that might be a nice way to take in and soak in what we're going to be sharing. So with that, Julie, I want to welcome you and thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Maureen. It's a very loving introduction and I feel blessed and seen. So thank you for that. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, you're so welcome. You know, I named this podcast Mystical Sisterhood, and recently I've been asking my guests, what does mystical mean to you?
Oh, what a beautiful question. Mystical means for me, living a spiritual life means applying meaning to all events. And so my life is lived as devotion because I apply meaning and reverence to my creative expressions, to my food, to my relationships. And I have used ritual and ceremony throughout my life to create the perspective that was serving my evolution. And so I call the tough ones, which are sometimes the greatest teachers, sacred moments. Mm. And so again, it's, you know, as we know, it's not what happens to you, it's who are you in the face of what happens to you. And remembering that we are the architects of our life. And so what matters is what is the meaning that you apply to the experiences in your life. And for me, this is how I'm a mystic. What defines me as a mystic is that I am looking and receiving and ready for all the signs and all that is unseen to speak to me through form, through nature, through my heart, through knowing. And, you know, just really, really knowing and living the fact that you are the creator of your life experience, which is why I don't read self-help books. I don't read someone else's idea of what their life is, unless I'm inspired by that person or there's something about that person's life. You know, like I love life stories because we are all living this, you know, heroic journey through this very interesting realm that has been under control and suppression and manipulation for eons of time. And really understanding that the most important perspective is your perspective, because we are billions of life forms and no two are alike. And so it's this funny little thing that human culture and society is always looking for a consensus. You know, what's the best diet? What's the best religion? What's the best whatever? But in Tantra, which is an ancient yogic practice, the student asks the master, you know, is honey good or bad? And the answer is, for whom and when? That is the wisdom, for whom and when. And so this tendency to judge others, to, you know, be on a soapbox, you know, claiming to have the knowledge of what is right for all life is rather amusing. It's very immature and not aware, because the only person that has the authority to know what is right for you is you. And we go through different experiences of life, from our birth, through our childhood, through our adolescence, into our womanhood, and different phases of life, different levels of learning bring different experiences, foods, relationships, events, expressions that are appropriate for you in that moment. And in that knowing, they are all divine, all sacred, all precious. So I'm ready for some mystical sisterhood. I've been a life form that I was genetically created, at least in the first life, which I will kind of talk about. The reality is that we had a first life that was sort of everything leading up to maybe 2 years ago, and now we're stepping into a second life. In the first life, and a lot of women listening to this, a lot of feminine bodies, we've been polarity integrating. So we've been incarnating in families where we didn't belong, fish out of water, black sheep, and also relationships that were not of the same resonance that we had. We went into relationships with the other, with the polarity. So it's been a lot of pulling, a lot of magic, a lot of holding, a lot of transformation. And we're in a world that up until now reveres only the patriarchy. So the patriarchy is giving the celebrity spot in all avenues. Even we were giving the authority to men, male doctors on how to birth our children. I mean, literally, like it goes through the entire play.
Yeah.
And so I'm really ready for some sisterhood. So thank you for having this podcast and inviting me on.
I think with so much of what you just said is going to be so resonant with people. And I love the way you just termed that, the first life. And now we're moving into something else. This idea that these messages really are, they're coming to life more and more. I love what you said too, just our awareness, naming the patriarchy and naming. I know that I've been hearing this for a few years now. So you let it settle into your being, and I take it in, and it with each week, I think it has new meaning, and I can see it with a little clearer of a lens, where at the same time of my awareness of what happens on the outer, it's a calling from within for what's calling forth within me.
Definitely. And I mean, I think it's important to name, you know, in my life, I have not been a feminist at all. I would not even take that. I mean, I don't like labels anyway. I don't like isms or any boxes. But what is important to acknowledge is, you know, what is behind me too is thousands of years ago, the feminine was ripped out of the spiritual history of our planet. I mean, like, just let that sink in for a second. So, and you know, this is coming out a lot in the, you know, Magdalene doctrines and looking at that just in a, I'm not even going to use a religious, you know, categorization of that, but you know, the Magdalene was Yeshua, Jesus' genetic equal. She was not a whore. She was not a less than. She was his equal. And so we're learning that now, you know, as we come through, but it's like the entire program has been a setup by design to suppress, to control, and to keep the feminine down.
Yeah.
And now we all have feminine and masculine within us. So the answer isn't now that we go and attack all the men, you know, like that's or all the masculine. It's about balancing this within us. But it is rather, I mean, it's rampant in all the industries. You know, one of the things that I've done is I've created a lot of food, and I'm an entrepreneur of a food company named Shreemu, plant-based artisanal cheese. But what sort of amuses me is why all the famous chefs are men. Like, how is that a thing? And why are they the ones, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's in, like, I mean, I know just everybody listening here, we could have, you know, a potluck and it would be the best food on planet Earth from all the mothers and all the love and everything that we've put into our families. I mean, we were keepers of the flame in the hearth of the home, which is in the kitchen. That is the spiritual fire. And so we have this feminine part of us. It's the unseen. It's the mystery. It's the, you know, it's the devotion. It's the Lakshmi with 29 hands. You know, all of the feminine beings that I know, we're not doing one thing. We're doing 29 things simultaneously. And yet, you know, what gets acknowledged or what gets revered is the male. And so this is a balancing, a reclamation, a return to divinity that is happening. And it's not like a time like any other in history. It's a 26,000 year planetary procession of an opening of a change of life. And so this really is the moment that we've taken a body for. Like, this is why we incarnated. And I think we need to remind ourselves, because there's a lot of death and violence and murder and sadness and a lot of despair that is felt. But we have to remember this life on planet Earth that we are living is one of the most precious blessings. If you're alive and you're breathing and you're listening to this, remember how blessed you are.
I want you to say more about this is the moment that we took a body for. When I was re-listening to your podcast, I heard you say that on one of the episodes. And so why would we do that? This is
why would we? Hard to imagine, right?
Well, this is, but you're, what you're suggesting, I think, is, I want to say it's coming as like, this is a divine plan that you're here.
Sure.
And holding that with reverence alone. And so what is the invitation for the listener to feel into, to breathe into, to begin to know?
Well, I mean, how could it be otherwise? How could it be otherwise? So some perspectives, and when you listen to me, you'll hear me say this a lot. There is a perspective, because I just said that it's all about perspective. So, like, you know, I've traveled in a lot of spiritual avenues and paths in my lifetime, and that range from, you know, galactic emissaries to off planet ETs to Mayans to Vedic teachers, Lakota Sioux chiefs. So you could kind of say about me that I've left no stone unturned. And one of the things is that it's all about perspective. So what I would say is, you know, if you're speaking to a Palladian from, you know, a far distant planet, you will get a certain type of vibration or frequency in the answer. Same thing of a, you know, Lakota chief, he would answer in a certain way. So, but what I would say is that the opportunity in on planet Earth is such a precious opportunity because it carries these extreme experiences of life, which that friction, that alchemy, that intensity, that loss, that contrast between joy and sadness or suffering and well-being creates the friction, which creates the opportunity for evolution. So there is no other planet in the cosmos, and there are innumerable planets of life in our cosmos. So just let that sink in. If you've been going on the idea that we're the only ones, then human are the superior, you know, life form, understand this is only one flavor of life experience. Okay. So, and we are in the premier show in the multiverse.
Wow.
Everyone is watching us. What are they going to do? What are they, you know, how are they going to choose and claim their awareness? And how is this going to affect? Because it affects all life. So I imagine we come here because we love humanity and the earth so deeply.
Oh, yeah.
That we agreed to come and experience levels of trauma that are unthinkable, unimaginable, as well as experiences of immense beauty. When you look at the nature of this planet and the raw, you know, material and the love of relationships, the emotions that we can experience through our relationships, through birthing children, through being in love unions, through, you know, expressing creative expressions, music, art, dance, poetry. These are precious experiences that are had in this realm. And so, you know, as all of us, my heart and my consciousness and prayers and visions have been, you know, with the wars on this planet, with the people that have been brutalized, that are being murdered. And there is no us or them. There is no good side, bad side. It's just we're all one. I saw something that Cat Stevens posted, and it was a song that he had written about a Palestinian child who had been killed in a bombing. And the child was running towards the mother as he was blown up. And the mother had a dream, and the child came to her, and she was like, "My love, like you were running to me, and what happened? And did, or were you hurt?" Like, you know, of course, you know, as we all feel this pain. And the child was like, "Mommy, I was running to you, and there was just a pinch, and I was in the garden." And so when I'm contemplating, you know, flying in an airplane and, you know, the possibility or the outcome of being annihilated or exploded or, you know, this type of event happening, I'm always holding the vision that the moment between this reality and the next reality are like quick, like, you know, like nothing. And I had an experience with a very adept clairvoyant when 9/11 happened. And, you know, at that time I was privy to information that this had been an agenda. And it's like, you couldn't even whisper that. Like, I mean, it's not something that I would say, you know, you couldn't even hint to that at that time, because it would have been like just a complete mind, you know, collapse in order to even to even consider. And I think now, you know, we're starting to see that we've been controlled in many, many ways that we never imagined. And I would say that it's much worse than any of us really know. But yeah. what she viewed, she remotely viewed that experience. And when the planes hit the towers, there was a segment of the people on the plane that literally just jumped right. They had died, but their energetics moved right into service. And they were helping the other people, and they were assisting. And the terrorists were despondent in despair and agony over what they had done.
Oh, wow.
Because they had been lied to by you know, whatever their beliefs were. And the universe keeps a very precise accounting, right? So your actions, we're all responsible for our actions.
Yeah.
There is no hiding. There's no getting away. You don't get away with anything. You know, nobody gets away with anything. And if you're living a blessed life, it's because you earned it.
Mm.
It's not luck. Mm-hmm. It's not luck. Mm-hmm. It's you earned it because we're on this sort of path of evolution, or you chose it. I mean, who's to say that a life of comfort is better than a life of living homeless on the street? Because as a being or a soul that is here to evolve, there may be a greater evolution in the life of the homeless person.
Wow.
Much, much greater. It's not about one life. It's about an amalgam of all the life experiences as you go. But I guess that's why we take a body.
Wow. Yeah.
I guess it's really for evolution. And yet, you know, there is a huge opportunity to be in reverence, to be holding love and compassion, and may grace surround and permeate us all. And may we travel through this very intense time of transformation, knowing that it is, you know, ultimately for the highest evolution. And may we respect people in their experiences as representations of God consciousness, no matter the appearance, no matter what that looks like, because you know, the divine is very, I'd say, creative in the choices of how it's expressing in this realm. And there's probably a lot of little nuggets to meditate on within that offering, but that's a perspective that is running through me frequently.
Well, and when it makes me think of, too, the other night I was able to go to Las Vegas, which is a crazy place, but I got to see you, too, in their new arena. And I was thinking about the messages of love and unity and using your voice in that show, in that performance. And that I thought, like, you know, everyone here believe, you know, in some degree, I think is there because they are holding that message. It doesn't mean that they've have it all figured out within, but it was just, that's not the message that was being spread outside that arena as we came off a really hard week in the United States. So I appreciate your, I think that one of the reasons I'm drawn to you is because of your ability to talk about the pain. And it makes me think of too, the pain that we've experienced in our own lives, the places we've been wounded and hurt. And I think I really wanted to ask a question about that because a lot of people are walking around with a lot of shame about the things that have occurred in their lives and feeling a little unable to shed that. And where do we begin there? Because I feel like that's forces or energetics out there holding us back as well.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for sure. When we just first, before I answer that, definitely when we gather to celebrate music or we gather to celebrate anything, it creates a beautiful frequency that uplifts everyone. So yes, I mean, and again, it doesn't matter that it's in Las Vegas. I mean, it's, and one of the thing that I think could be helpful to just mention is that in my awareness and perspective, this ascension process, it's really an incension process. We're going through this evolution within these sacred vehicles, which is the body temple. And there will be ascending and descending realities going on right next to us. And that's the thing that's so crazy. So it's not like we're going to some, you know, some compound where there'll be unicorns and, you know, right. I mean, I like unicorns and that'd be fine with me, but it's not like that. We're going to be here embodied in these bodies, okay, walking through life. And so it's not about saying, oh, I'm not going to Vegas because Vegas is not cool. Mm-hmm. It's about following your own directive. And the other thing is, the body intelligence is what your safety mechanism is. And so finding a way to get in touch with your body through breath work, yoga, through meditating, through really knowing who you are, the body will lead you. You will be guided and you'll just know. All of a sudden be like, oh no, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way. So it's the body intelligence that is the supreme intelligence. It is not the mind. Mm. It is the heart, the supreme intelligence, and the body resonance, the feeling tone of the body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so going into trauma. Yeah, this is our wonderful opportunity on planet Earth. And also want to mention that I have been feeling a lot of wounding, like my life patterns of wounding have been amplified a lot since August. And starting to level out, I think, in the last month of this year. But a lot of people that I interact with have shared, you know, similar experiences of just feeling so down and so in pain and so in the suffering. And the reason is, in order to clear these patterns for humanity, they have to be felt through our physicality, through the body. And remembering that in this mission of reclamation of this planet that we love so deeply and our humanity, we are the ground crew. So there are the divine, you know, omniscient beings that are our future embodiments. They're aspects of our future selves that exist outside of this space and time, mm-hmm, and reminding us that there's only time, linear time in this realm. We are the ground crew and nothing happens without us. So remember how loved you are, how valued you are, how celebrated and how needed you are. So within the trauma, as when I'm working with people, reminding yourself how courageous you were to agree to experience the level of trauma that you have. And so consider shifting your perspective from being a victim of this happened to me, I was so unfortunate, or I was so stupid or unworthy that I participated in this, and start to consider, what if you loved humanity so deeply that you were so courageous that you raised your hand at a soul and you said, I will experience this level of abuse because I will feel it through my body. I will process it and I will release it and transmute it so that my humanity is freed from this experience. So in fact, if you've had a difficult life, if you've had the suffering, if you've had the trauma, it is in fact evidence of your courageous heart. And so if you're listening to this, I want to acknowledge that in you and say thank you. Because again, if we don't feel it, if we don't go through it, we cannot clear it. We cannot transmute it into no thing. There's a story that was told to me by one of the Indian masters that I worked with. He's the one that named me Ma Ananda Srimati, which is my spiritual name, one of my names, one of my many names. You use my street name, my Julie Pye name. So it's kind of funny. It's a funny thing to change your name, but I've done it many times. So anyway, but he spoke about how the human experience is. So we could agree that there are millions of moments that happen in our lives. And so what happens is our personality will collect a moment, like pick one out and create a link in a chain. So most of the time, humans create chains of suffering. So they'll say, my mother got pregnant when she was 17 and she didn't want me. First link. Mm-hmm. Second link is, my family was poor. We had to struggle. I never got what I needed. I've always been left wanting. Second link. Third link, no one ever picked me to be on the basketball team. You know, I was unwanted.
Yeah.
Third link. So we create this story, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, less common, you can get people who are people that I call the super duper people. Mm-hmm. Or you're like, how are you? And they're like, super, super duper. So the super duper people will say, I am so lucky. My mother prayed for me for months and finally I arrived and they said I was the most adored child of our entire family.
Oh gosh, that's good.
Second link would be, you know, I always win. Third link, you know, I always get what I want, whatever, which is, you know, also, you know, a perspective. But what this Indian master would tell me is both are lies. Mm-hmm. Both are simply fabrications of an identity and ego personality. Okay. Because what we really are is the consciousness that is holding all events.
Wow.
And so what is bad and what is good? Who are we to say? How can we know? We're not even born yet, meaning we haven't even been born into our awareness. We're operating in illusions. We have blinders on. We can't even see the landscape. And so this tale or this perspective has helped soften the weight of the stories that you are telling yourself about your life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, pointing to the power of perspective. So if we are creating our own life, well, you have a choice.
Yeah.
You can create it in any flavor or color that you want. And then it might be good to do it in sort of an uplifting, life-affirming way, and then life will visit you and kick your ass, and you will have to deal with the occurrences of life, whether it's illness, divorce, heartbreak, financial collapse, you know, displacement, death. All of these things will come based on your life path. And so also recognizing that, you know, finding a way to clear this trauma, this story. And what I would ask you is, if it's not you, then who is it?
Mm.
Maureen, if it's not us who are going to be the ones, and I'm always calling the women to the front. Yeah. Women, come to the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to come to the front.
Yeah.
So it's enough of the other thing. So let's step into position and do your piece, the thing that is natural to you, the thing that you loved as a child when you were 6 years old, the thing that you know how to do, come and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And understand, start to cultivate this perspective of yourself as sacred. The fact that you exist at all, that you are breathing right now, is a miracle that cannot be explained. We know these things. We just forgot.
So everything you shared, I recall you asking the question of, can we become prolific dreamers? But you just set the stage for the answer to that question, which is an absolute yes. And the invitation is here. And I love the come to the front of the line. And, you know, for me, starting this podcast, it was just something that came through me, Julie. And I know you talk a lot about creativity and creative forces, and it was so loud that I could not listen. And releasing the outcome, you know, at this moment of time of any of this, it's just this trusting and believing for as long as it's meant to be in this form. But I love that, the creative force. And is there, you've alluded to creativity and what's coming from us, but is there more to say around creativity and creation?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things is that the feminine, and I'm using the frequency feminine because, you know, it doesn't It could be a man who's very feminine embodied. It's just rare, more, you know, it's less, it's less common. But so the feminine existentially is eternally creating. She never stops creating. She is creating all the time, eternally. And because we're Lakshmi and Saraswati and Durga, and we're the life givers, we're giving life through our very bodies or our hearts, if you have animals or if you've chosen not to give actual physical birth. But we are creators by design at the very sort of precise center of what it means to be a feminine embodiment. And so just to remember that and let it flow through you. I had another Indian master who said to me, he said, Julie, sometimes, he said, you are so close to Divine Mother. He said, sometimes people find you a little overly creative. I giggled. It was a very clear, because I, you know, I mean, listen to my bio, and you know, there's probably eight things that are not in the bio that I do. So my whole life, it was like, you know, my dad was an engineer, and he'd be like, you know, if you just did one thing, you could have been really successful, right. You know? Yes. And he would tell me, you know, Julie, 2 + 2 = 4. And I would say, Dad, 2 + 2 = 22. So, you know, it's this thing of being told your whole life, you know, and the other thing is the masculine frequency is in the quiet. So it does one thing, and no matter how much the masculine loves his feminine partner, when she comes into his presence, he will cringe because she has disturbed his peace. I wanted to share that because that's been a really funny like awareness, which allowed me to drop my irritation with my husband over him cringing when I walk in the room,
right.
literally can see it. But I think it's just time, you know, it's all fine. The whole play on the planet, it's been by design. That's been the movie that was being played. Mm-hmm. And so now that it's collapsing and we're going to go into the months, you're going to see more people leaving the planet, so more death, and there's going to be a collapse of structures. We are waking up. And one thing to remember of the souls that have in their contracts or their life design that they exit, there are benevolent forces that are guiding these life forms into places of nourishment. So life is eternal. The life lives on, the consciousness lives on. And there are many, many, many unseen forces that are here assisting us. Mm. And so just know, and it's really not even a, yes, you have the human horror if it's somebody that is with you. It's the extreme loss of the death. So let me be clear, I'm not glossing over that at all. I've experienced a lot of death in my personal life, and I'm very attuned to the horror and the loss of that goodbye, of that until we meet again moment. And it's, you know, different life forms have different life paths, and any avenue of exit is a point of sacred transition. Now, not to say that in the unseen realms, there are both anti-life forces and life-affirming forces. So, you know, this is why I offer, like on my podcast and in Water Tiger, a prayer for suffering, an energetic for passage, for safe passage, you know, things that we can do to assist our loved ones as they move along, but also understanding like there are a lot of forces that are with us now that are very powerful and guiding this process.
Yeah. You know, Julie, I'm thinking too about ritual and wondering in your life, I know music is very important to you and you've done different collaborations. You've created your own music. So that I'll introduce your music, but ritual too. How do you practice in the day? And how does someone begin to practice who doesn't have a practice yet? Yet they're listening to the messages today. They feel hungry. They feel like they want to be with themselves in this really feminine way.
Yeah, it begins with listening to yourself, with trusting yourself, with understanding that you don't need a priest or a guru or me or anyone to tell you how to do it. You know how to do it. We've done it. We've done it for thousands of years. And what it takes is the courage to do it, because if you're living in a life, you know, like if you're a householder and you live in a family, everyone doesn't want to do it. You know, the inclination is not to do the blessing, is not, you know, it's an inconvenience to modern way of living, you know, to the phone or to the whatever. Yeah. So it just takes the commitment to it. And it's a lot why I awake in the middle of the night. I mean, you know, I've spent years lighting sacred fires in the middle of the night and doing different operations and taking inspiration and to things that are meaningful to me. And, you know, one of the things that I might share right now is the process of death, as we have the opportunity to reclaim this passage and the sacredness of it and find ways to give it meaning and honoring to our relations. And so one experience that I had was my father, who I just spoke about, who, you know, we had a lot of different views in our life. You know, he's a hunter. I was raised in Alaska on game meat. Then I rediscovered yoga this lifetime. And so I'm the yogi daughter, you know, the yogi vegan daughter, and he's the NRA member. You know, my dad was always a very present dad and provider and really would always be there for me. But I wasn't his favorite. Like, I wasn't the personality that he preferred. And so at the end of his life, he was 92, and he called me one day and said, you know, I just wanted to tell you that you've been a great daughter. And he wasn't sick, but he was done. And I was like, Dad, thank you so much. Like, that's so lovely of you to have given me that, you know. And I had already written him a bunch of letters like, Dad, you're the perfect dad for me, even though, you know, even though we have all this stuff, you know. So anyway, so I got the call. He was sick. He had been admitted to the hospital and he didn't want to go in the hospital. He was ripping the cords out of his body. And for some reason, my sister and mom left me alone with him for some hours. And they had been sort of primarily caring for him. And at the time when he called me, I said, Dad, I'll do everything I can to help you die. And he said, thank you. So he gave me his permission. So there I was in the hospital. I started to disconnect his body from, or his energetics from his body. And then they came to me about 6 hours later and they said, his organs are shutting down. We're going to let you go home. So I said, Dad, we can go home. And he just sat up and said, give me my clothes. So we were sitting there and waiting for the ambulance to transport him. And I was like, oh, Dad, you haven't eaten in like a day and a half. So I said, would you like to eat something? This, you know, that applesauce in the hospital. And he said, yeah. So I opened it and I'm feeding him with a plastic spoon applesauce. And all of a sudden, the ancient one is sitting inside of him looking at me through his eyes. And I'm feeding the ancient being. I'm talking about that being that is in the whale or in the elephant, that eye. Every single hair on my body was standing up. And I was like, this is, and I also had the realization that he had fed me at some point as a child and I was feeding him, you know, at this moment. So then they came and said, you know, it's here. And I said, do you want me to ride with you or can you make it? And I'll meet you there. And he said, no, I'll make it. So I gave him my poncho. My dad was an Indiana Jones type character. And he mapped the jungles of the Amazon as a young man and was a Navy pilot. And so I have this poncho thing and so does he. So I handed him my poncho and I was like, take that and I'll meet you on the other side. So when I met him at my sister's, he knew that Rich was on his way to see me and he asked to be sat at the table so that he could receive my husband one last time for me. And it was this lovely show of, I don't know, chivalry or something for me. And he died a few days later, and we sang to him. And, you know, we had like kirtan night and original night and folk night. And my mom, I said, you know, what do you want to do? My mom's a Catholic, you know, raised in Chile. And she said, oh, honey, just do whatever you do, like do what you know how to do.
Yeah.
And so I created an altar to my parents. I created this rose water, and I got this beautiful piece of fabric that was like not too fancy, but beautiful. And we were there when he took his last breath, and we were saying, great job, well done, thank you. You know, I had told him earlier, like, you're going on an expedition, and of everyone I know, you know how to do that.
Yeah.
And so we just thanked him and loved him out of his body. And then afterwards, my sister and I washed the body with rose water. We moved him onto this blanket and swaddled him like we had swaddled our babies. I offered white rose petals all around his head, and I put my mala around his neck.
Wow.
And we kept his body as long as we could there for some 7 hours. And, you know, the next day, my mom said to me, you know, what would I have done? Like, what would I have done if you weren't there? Mm. And the one thing is, my girlfriend, my spiritual mystic sister, Deborah Garland, had been to the mouth of the Ganges and had sent me a bottle of Ganges water. And so what I did with my dad, died with his mouth open, and the hospice was apologizing about it. And I said, it's okay, it's okay. And then I poured the Ganges water in his mouth, representing his last drink with this earth.
Wow.
And then miraculously, his mouth started to close. His lips were together, and he had a slight smile on his face. And so the culmination of this experience was this wonderful resolution that my dad and I gave each other at the end of our lives. And the other thing is that I know a lot of spiritual people in my life, and I don't know anyone that died the way my dad did. And on a human level, there were a lot of reasons for us to be at odds, or maybe to judge his perspective or whatever. And so for months afterwards, I would just have to pull over and laugh my head off, because what it did too is it freed me of any residual judgment, because I'm sure none of us know who we really are.
Yeah.
Because in order to have a movie, certain beings are playing certain parts, right? And so do you really know? You know, do you really know? And do you really feel like you have the authority to get on a soapbox and judge another?
Yeah.
I don't. So anyway.
Thank you for sharing. I mean, I'm on this side of the screen in tears, and just, I've never heard of such a beautiful ritual at death, and the fact that you were able to escort each other through the process is so gorgeous. Before we finish today, I really want to talk about your embodiment around nourishment and the way we nourish ourselves. And you mentioned your artisanal cheese company, a plant-based cheese company,
Shreemu. Yeah,
I have your cookbook upstairs, The Plant Power Way, which is just I love the shape of it even. And it's like a coffee table book, but it's recipes, and it's your family, and it's just got a lot of beautiful energy to it. And I do have the subscription to the Plant Power Meal Planner, which is a plant-based meal planner. And upstairs I've got the curried lentil and butternut squash soup going on the stove.
Stove's off. How beautiful.
But, you know, yeah, I thought that was, I was looking at recipes this morning, and I'm always on a quest to really nourish myself so well in this lifetime and set aside all the ways that we've thought. I loved how you started in the beginning of the hour about, it's not about a specific diet. It's not. Mm-hmm. And we get so caught up in all of that within our culture. And so I've gone through a big ailment in my life a few years back. So I'm always, you know, on that quest. Mm-hmm. And I realize, you know, the patriarchy is involved in the kind of foods on our shelves. And so taking back my power and the way I want to live. So tell us about what you've created in the form of these creations, entities, companies?
Well, to sort of just give a quick summary. So I've always been a skinny person, right? Mm-hmm. So I, and my family has a lot of issues around alcohol addiction, but not around food. Like, we never ate emotionally ever. It was just like, if you're hungry, you eat. And if you don't, you don't. So what that did is it hid the power of food from me, you know, and later in my life, I got a gigantic cyst in the front of my neck. It was the size of a golf ball. And I had discovered yoga. So I'd been practicing, you know, pretty intense practice. And I always talk about when I started practicing yoga, my desire to eat meat dropped me. It wasn't an intellectual, it wasn't like an idea in my head. It was no longer resonant for me. And same thing with alcohol and same thing with coffee. So what happened when I got this cyst, I went to an Ayurvedic physician and he wrote down my diet on a single sheet of paper in pencil.
Wow.
And in Ayurveda, which is the Eastern Indian science of wellness, it is in medicine, actually, every single food has a specific quality. So it's not like a lettuce is a lettuce is a lettuce. Mm. It's red lettuce or romaine lettuce or green grapes or red grapes, right? So he gave me these packet of herbs and I had to drink the smelliest concoction. It was like drinking sulfur, sewage, and dirt every night. And then I had to make a paste, which I would put on the outside and wrap my neck every night. And I don't know why. I just knew I had had a botched tonsillectomy as an adult.
Yeah.
And also suffered from severe headaches for many, many years. And this surgery that they were proposing, they were going to take a cross section out of the bone of my neck. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, no, like you're not doing that. Mm-hmm. So I healed myself. Ayurveda supported my body to heal herself of that ailment. And in Ayurveda, we revere the body as divine. The body is God. The body is miraculous intelligence. Mm-hmm. And so through this partnership with this very pure Ayurvedic physician, I was able to clear it. And I had to go through hundreds of pimples on my face every day for like months.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would say, stop taking the herbs, stop taking the herbs. Yeah, and I was like, no, like it's coming out on my face. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this experience is what connected me so deeply to food, and it completely healed and never came back. And then my husband embarked on a journey becoming a plant-based Ultraman athlete where he was doing double Ironman races. Only plants. And so because I'm good in the kitchen, it's easy for me to cook. I did it really as a love offering to support him. And that turned into, you know, the first 45 recipes, which we were going through financial collapse at the time and didn't have money to hire a food photographer. So we just used images of our family that we had all taken. We're all artists. Mm-hmm. And so that cookbook, Jai Seed, which is an e-cookbook, fed us for, you know, a few years, which was really amazing. And then we would go on to do two cookbooks together, The Plant Power Way and The Plant Power Way Italia. And then I wrote the sort of tome on plant-based cheese. So during this time, I cracked the code on artisanal plant-based cheese. And there is nothing like it. It is one of the most brilliant things that has ever come through me. Shocked myself at the level of creativity and the proof that there are many ways to create things. You know, if you're open, I was like a child. I didn't look at what other people were doing. I just created my own thing. And so Shreemu is a plant-based artisanal collection. It is primarily subscription. So we ship a perishable product right to your house. It's available in all the US and also some places in Canada. It's open. I mean, it's available at limited wholesale, but we really are building this subscription community. The wheels freeze perfectly and it comes in this beautiful, artful packaging. It's black with gold printing, gold foil. And it is a devotional offering of high vibrational nourishment. Shreemu is universal. It's for everyone. It's keto, paleo, gluten-free, plant-rich, raw, dairy-free. It's an amazing product. I have about eight flavors on the line with, you know, 40 waiting. And recently I moved my production to Memphis, Tennessee. We're at a vertical community called Crosstown Concourse, which is a living community of residential, New Thought High School, healthcare for 80,000, refugee-run cafes, Grammy-winning producer recording studio, performance theaters, artist in residency. And it's an incredible community that I have opened up my first wine and cheese cafe. So I have my production in 80%. We're shipping and producing there with this beautiful team. And then I have my first wine and cheese cafe, and we have charcuterie boards with beautiful organic, vegan, biodynamic wines. And it's really something. I mean, when you taste Shrimu, you want it. Yeah. I can say that. And it's just great. Like, it's not, you know, weird vegan cheese where you're like, oh, what is this? There's nothing fake in my recipes, not in any of my books, and also not in any of my formulations. So Shrimu is a global mission of awakening. I do everything to express the spiritual frequency that is the truth of each of us. And so it is designed to allow you to awaken and remember who you are and create this unity between the spiritual and the physical. And, you know, food is one of the most powerful rituals that we have. So within the brand, we're offering, you know, my spiritual techniques, blessings, how you receive the food, how the food is made. And I'm involved in a global tea practice where we are drinking the leaves of, you know, ancient trees, and I make a product that is made with tree nuts. So it's a very deep experience. I encourage you all to try it.
Yes, I'm excited to try it. I've been looking at it for a while. I have to say thank you for creating it. Thank you for just your generosity and everything you've shared today. I'm in awe and I love it. You're speaking my language, and I know for the listeners, it's just hitting in all the right places. So for that, where can the listener find you, Julia?
Yeah, so thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure, Maureen. Thank you. So I do want to mention, if you found resonance with some of the things that I've offered, I want to let you know that I have a spiritual online community called Water Tiger. And actually, Maureen was a member, which is how she found me originally. But anyway, it is a way to know way. And one of the things that is aligned with my life print is that I have a frequency of transmission that comes through the voice. And this is the accumulation of many lifetimes in Vedic lineages. It's called past life punya, and it's in my Vedic chart. And so there is a resonance that is of service to me and to others, and I offer this living sphere of techniques. So there is no step one, step two, step three. That is up to you to discern. But there are over, I think, 60 techniques in the portal now, and through Water Tiger, it's a monthly membership. And there are other programs and opportunities to study with me, to work with me. And so you can go to juliepyatt.com to find that. I'm also on Instagram at Srimati, S-R-I-M-A-T-I. And from there, you can find the Shrimu Do Life IG as well. And then also you can stream my music on Spotify. I am Srimati on Spotify, S-R-I-M-A-T-I. I have two albums that I recorded with my sons when they were adolescent young boys, and we were in a band together for 7 years. And now I'm working on my first solo album, so I'll be moving into a lot more music coming up.
Exciting. Thank you. Thanks for sharing the resources and all the love. And thank you for the listeners for being here today, Julie, Srimati. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So would you mind if I do like a little prayer to just
please
bookend it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you feel aligned, just draw into the center point in your heart, the place where you first feel. And let's just gather here with our intentions, knowing that together we are mighty, knowing that the prayers and visions and hopes for life-affirming love and beauty on this planet are heard and received? And can we extend our loving frequency to all those who are suffering on the planet right now? And for all those places where people are taking exit in violence and in very intense war zones, just may grace and beauty surround them, and may they be uplifted and transformed into the highest expression available to them in this moment. And so, with so much love and beauty and creativity and presence, may grace and beauty surround us all. And so it is.
Thank you so much. Beautiful
ending.
Thank
you, Maureen.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Be well. Yes.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.